Napa know-how.
There are lots of amazing cars on the road, but perhaps none more amazing than the paid-off car. It may not be pretty, but the price is right. Heck, if you keep that thing running, it'll actually start paying you. Because with Napa Rewards, for every $100 you spend, you'll get $5 off. So keep your car running longer, stronger with Napa Rewards and watch the savings start rolling in. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter. Also a writer over at BourbonStreetShots.com, where I've actually got an article up right now on why the Pelicans should not tank. And frankly, they most definitely shouldn't, and they're almost certainly not going to right now, because the good news is, if you're a Pelicans fan, that Denver lost last night to the Houston Rockets, moving the Pelicans to four games back of the eighth seed, just four games, and when they had started on Friday, they were six games back. So it's nice to see, them being able to kind of get back in this, maybe make this push. You know, some things that might hamper them on the push towards the eighth seed, on-court stuff at least, I'm going to talk about today. I want to talk about some of the fit with DeMarcus Cousins on-court. The on-court, off-court numbers are a bit wonky and screwy in certain areas, hopeful and optimistic in the others. And it's going to be an interesting discussion the rest of this way as the Pelicans do try and make the playoff push, but more importantly, try and get Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins integrated with each other. But I do want to share some stuff quickly about the playoff race here. And one of the thing was that, and it came from Jim Eichenhofer, the Pelicans beat writer for Pelicans.com. He said, you know, with the Pelicans four games out of the West with 12 games left, the last New Orleans playoff team that made the first round and was swept by the Warriors, was four games out of the eighth seed with 11 games left. Interesting comparison there, but he did follow it up with the sobering news here that, you know, that playoff team for the Pelicans, the one that got swept by the Warriors, only trailed eighth place OKC. That was the only team they needed to get past and get in there. Unfortunately, right now, the Pelicans are behind. The Nuggets are in the eighth seed, Blazers and Mavericks. So it's three teams instead of one. And they only have one game left against Portland, meaning to get back in it with Portland, you know, assuming they win all three against Denver, let's say, then basically puts Portland in pole position for the eighth spot. Pels have one game left against them. If they get that, they can claw back within 2.5 of Portland. So right now they're either four games back with three to go against Denver, or if you think they're going to win those three against Denver, and, you know, for the sake of the argument here, let's say they do, then they're, three and a half back of Portland. So it's going to be a tight race to close the year. Not sure they're necessarily going to be able to do it, but hey, it should be a lot of fun. As this season winds down, they've got a very pivotal three-game stretch. Not this game coming up, but after that, where they head on the road for a little bit with a tough, tough stretch of games. But you never know what's going to happen. So, like I said, fun end of the season coming up for the Pelicans. So today, I'm going to give you guys a preview of the Memphis game tonight. That'll be in the latter half of the podcast. But before that, I do want to talk about DeMarcus Cousins, the on-court numbers, the off-court numbers, what to really make of those. With a 13 and 11 game sample size that we have, 13 that the Pels have played total, only 11 of those featured DeMarcus Cousins, and those two that he didn't play in, both wins for the Pelicans. So let's look at some of it. And there's a website called NBAWowie.com, which can really run a lot of the on-court, off-court numbers for you to really kind of see a lot of things with this team. So first and foremost, I'm going to use a mix of that site and the NBA stat site, which has some on-court, off-court capabilities where you can measure a team against a player. So I'm going to look at DeMarcus Cousins on and off, factoring in whoever he's playing with on the court, whether it's Anthony Davis or not Anthony Davis, and him off. And NBA Wowie I'm using because I can measure both Davis and Cousins on versus just Cousins off. which is actually a really helpful thing. So there's two things you're looking at here, three really. And that's going to be just DeMarcus Cousins on-court, off-court net rating with the Pelicans by himself. And I'll tell you that right now. When he's on the court, it's a net rating of -7.2 for the Pels, an offensive rating of 95.1, and a defensive rating of 102.3. So pretty bad there. The defensive rating's okay and good. However, you know, the overall offensive rating is abysmal. And they've already struggled this year, and you've seen it, at least for a number of games, they've struggled with getting Cousins and clicking on offense. But that was more in the beginning. Now that they've won 4 or 5, it looks a little bit better. Off court, though, the numbers are kind of staggering. It's a 113 offensive rating, a 105 defensive rating, and that's good for a net rating of +8. So not ideal when looking at those numbers, but there's a lot of context missing from that. And again, that has to do with Cousins of Anthony Davis, and him is the one that tends to play with the second unit more, anchoring that. Remember, DeMarcus Cousins gets subbed out before Davis on average, and then checks in for Davis, leaving Cousins with the second unit till Davis checks back in or foul trouble or what have you. But Cousins is basically playing more with the second unit, less with Drew Holiday than Anthony Davis is. That's leading to probably to a lot of the skew where the Pelicans look much better with Cousins off court than on. This is something that might remind you of in that first finals for the big three in Miami when they lost to Dallas. Everyone killed LeBron in that series. But everyone forgets he was the only guy not playing with one of the other big three on the court with him. He was the only one out there out of Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh that wasn't playing with those two other guys pretty much. So he was getting a lot of blame that I thought was unnecessary because the supporting cast around him was subpar compared to those other people. A lot of this is the case with these numbers for DeMarcus Cousins so far. Then you can check it and see how they're doing with him and Anthony Davis on the court versus off the court. And that's really what you'd like to see. You know, eventually the plan is to have them playing the majority of their minutes together, at least you would assume it is, and getting these two on the same page and playing well and everything clicking around them is going to be rather important. So, taking a look at the numbers with DeMarcus Cousins off the court, just DeMarcus Cousins off, that's all we're looking at. The Pelicans, of their shot attempts, 30.5% of them come from three-point range, and 29.1% come at the rim. So right there, you're looking at, you know, almost 70% of the total, not 70%, I can't do math, a little over 60% total. So 30.5% of their shot attempts come from three, 29.1% come at the rim. And that's with DeMarcus Cousins off. Now, look at it, compare it to DeMarcus Cousins and Anthony Davis on the court. The Pelicans are actually taking more shots from three. They're taking 32.3% of their looks there, and they're taking 31.5% of their attempts at the rim. So both those areas increase. So it's a decrease in the mid-range game, in long twos, and other areas. So it's nice to see that both those guys, when they're on the court, the smart shots are being attempted. They also take significantly more free throw attempts. Or percentage of their shots from three free throw increase when both those guys are on, which also makes sense. So the spacing and the looks the Pelicans are creating are higher quality looks, let's call them more or less, when those two are on the court. The problem has been the execution of those looks, and that's simply that the Pels have shot very poorly since, you know, DeMarcus Cousins has been here. They've only recently started to get hot. With the win over Portland where they shot well, the win over Houston. They didn't shoot particularly great in Charlotte, I don't think. But in some of their wins and against Minnesota, they did. They've started to pick up the shooting recently, but for the first 10 games or so, it was really bad. They were shooting a league worst when it came to field goal percentage by a significant bit for a little while. And I wrote about this on bourbonstreetshots.com. While he was here. So they were getting good looks. They just really weren't hitting it. It really came down to, and you guys have heard me say this tons of times on the podcast, make or miss league. You know, the court gravity of Davis and Cousins is working, but they can't make those other guys hit the shot attempts. The question was posed out there, I think it was Michael McNamara on Twitter, and basically said, you know, is he making teammates better? I don't know if he's making teammates better, and the numbers certainly show they're not necessarily better with just him on the court. You've really got to look at the lineups of him and Davis, not just him by himself for the reasons I said before. But no, they can't make those guys better, because if those guys aren't hitting their shots, they look bad. And as I talked about on yesterday's podcast, and I've said it a number of times, I think one of the reasons maybe some of these guys play better when DeMarcus Cousins is out is because they're getting the ball more often, and they're getting hitting their hands more frequently, because it's not ending up in DeMarcus Cousins or Anthony Davis. You know, there's only one ball to go around here. But that's also counterbalanced by some of the evidence we've seen where a guy like Dante Cunningham misses three corner threes in a row. Another area I want to stress, and I think this is a huge misconception around this Pelicans team and DeMarcus Cousins, because I think it's just kind of easy to say, even though it's not a truly accurate thing, is the pace of the team and when they're playing in transition in the fast break or in the half court does not change with DeMarcus Cousins. You can say they look slower when he's out, or they look slower when he's out there, or they look like they're playing faster when he's off on the bench. It's not true at all. None of that is. They're running basically the same pace, and some plays are tweaked, but for the most part, the offense is pretty much the same whether DeMarcus Cousins is on the court or not. And a lot of it just looking better happens to be because they're hitting shots. They still take shots early in the shot clock. And part of that, you have to guess, is for an offensively challenged team, you don't want to slow the game down and give yourself fewer possessions to score. You need it moving so that you can keep trying to score and just rely on your defense at the other end. If you're bad, you don't want to have just 5 attempts. You would rather have 10 attempts because you have a better chance of making more. If you're not going to go 4 for 5, maybe you'll go 5 for 10. It's still better than what it was, especially if it's in the same time frame. Less efficient, sure. But so on the court, there is a pace for DeMarcus Cousins of 99.26, and this is back to the NBA.com site. Off the court, it's 99.68. So it is slightly faster with him off by less than half a possession. And for the Pelicans over this 13-game stretch, since they've acquired DeMarcus Cousins, in which he has sat out 2 of those games due to suspension and injury. So if they wanted to revert to their old fast-playing style, they easily could have. But for those 13 games, and again, 2 which Cousins didn't play, which could boost that number up, let's say, the pace for the Pelicans is 99.44. So when he's on the court, it's 99.26. 99.44, so about 0.2, so 1/5 of 1 possession faster. Overall, it's negligible. That's not a difference in this case, essentially. So the pace and the style of play that they've had since DeMarcus Cousins has come is largely the same whether he's on the court or off the court. So when you see people saying, oh, they're playing differently with Cousins off, and you know it's the team that Alvin Gentry always wanted, and this type of style he wants to do, it's not true. He is kind of making this work, his style of play, with DeMarcus Cousins. Has it been transitionless? Let's say over this period, not transitions, but like, you know, it gelling right away, all of that. I don't mean transition, playing in transition. No, it hasn't. And there have been rough patches, but largely the style is working, especially when you consider they're winning games right now. Will it continue? Who knows? And it's a valid question whether or not Alvin Gentry is the best coach to maximize these two guys. You'd say there's other people who could do better, and but it's not necessarily Gentry can't coach this. What he's doing is working right now because you see the Pelicans winning, and they're largely playing how they normally play. And to hammer this point home, the Pelicans' pace on the year before the All-Star break, so leading up to the DeMarcus Cousins trade, was 100.13. So you're talking, you know, not really 1%, or 1%, one possession difference at all, from when he's arrived, from when it was before. So it's not like the pace has changed. They're still doing the Pelican style. You could make the claim, you know, early on that maybe it wasn't working, but that also could have been the transition period. That also could have been that the guys weren't making shots and that Gentry can't coach these two bigs and make it work. But now that things have stayed the same still and they're not playing differently when he's in or out, you know, it shows maybe they can make this work. Maybe Cousins won't have the impact that he could in another coach's system. But, you know, right now it is working, so you can't really say they're playing differently. So I wanted to throw that all out there for you. I'm going to dive into more of the on-court, off-court numbers throughout the rest of the week on Locked On Pelicans. I think they're pretty interesting. There's also a lot of noise in there, too. It's still such a small sample size, only being 11 with Cousins, 13 without. But some of the numbers are interesting. Those numbers I just shared with you guys show a lot of promise that this offense can work. Especially once these two bigs start gelling, it can actually be pretty good and pretty scary, and you've seen them explode the past two games. You know, even more than that a little bit, minus the loss to the Heat. But the offense looks a little bit better, and largely due to guys just all around making shots, it spaces the court even more. So we'll see if it keeps up tonight against Memphis, where they're really going to need it to. Memphis has given them trouble all year. And if it's going to continue going forward, especially when they hit that little rough three-game road trip, which is going to be really pivotal for their season. Don't forget, Locked On Pelicans is available on iTunes. It is on Audio Boom, basically wherever podcasts are found. I use the app Stitcher when I'm on the go trying to listen to everything. Please give it a subscribe, a like, a follow. It's on Twitter, at Locked On Pels, on Facebook, Locked On Pelicans. Just search for it. You'll see the logo and everything on there. You know, this comes to you 5 days a week. Really, the only thing devoted solely to the Pelicans going, you know, this type of analysis, diving this deep on the topics you want to hear about your favorite team. No one else is talking about the on-court, off-court splits with advanced stats like I just did with DeMarcus Cousins. Come on now. So please do me a favor. I do this for you guys 5 days a week. Please, like I said, like it, subscribe, follow, whatever. All of that is what keeps this free, so I'm happy to do this all for you. Please, just do one little thing for me. So the Memphis Grizzlies, the Pelicans have already played them three times. They're 1-2 against them, but all three games have been very close. The Memphis won the first one, I think it was 85-81, low scoring, really, really ugly game that set, you know, basketball back maybe a couple of years, only to be sent back even further when the Pelicans played the Jazz, well, like a week and a half ago. Then they lost in double overtime to the Grizzlies before finally winning one. The game before the All-Star break, they managed to beat Memphis, looked to build a little bit of momentum going in to that break. So the final game of the season, smart team. You guys know what they're known for, grit and grind, the grind house, the grind father, grind everything. You know, fifth best defensive rating. They basically, everything defensively, they are very solid, except they give up a lot of free throws. So DeMarcus Cousins and Anthony Davis should absolutely feast. If you can get into the bonus early, if you're the Pelicans, and get a bunch more free throw attempts than you would otherwise, you can punish this team. They foul a lot. So get out there, get in the bonus early, make your offense easier by living at the free throw line. Memphis is 30th, worst in the league, basically, when it comes to opponent free throw ratio to field goal attempts. So you can get to the line and get into the bonus early, which is going to make them a little bit more tentative. Try and score when you can. Again, for an offense that's been struggling, the ability to get into the bonus early is going to be very big here, just to give them some easy offense, particularly because, again, Memphis is the fifth best defense. You're not going to shoot particularly well at them because they can test almost everything. They're very solid at defensive rebounding. They're sixth best. You're not going to get very many second chance points against them. And they force a lot of turnover. So if you're sloppy, they're going to eat you alive. Offensively, again, just solid team. Doesn't turn the ball over. They do grab a significant amount of offensive rebounds. They're actually the seventh best, so you're going to really need Cousins and Davis. And I wrote about this also like a week or two ago about the defensive rebounding issues. You're going to need everyone sharp and on their game and team gang rebounding. Don't worry about playing in transition against Memphis, especially if you get into the bonus early. Don't worry about that if you're the Pels. So, you know, Memphis is going to want to slow it down, try and, you know, limit possessions. Pels need to do their thing. If they can live at the free throw line, they can win this game. You know, every game this year has been close. You can outscore this team. You just really need to execute, take care of the ball, and make smart plays. And hey, if the Pels manage to pull this off, you know, they're going to climb even further back into contention here before going to Denver, before going to Portland, playing Houston on the road as well. That's going to be a massive key stretch. You need to win these other games too, though. It's not going to just be okay if you beat Portland one game and then Denver three times. You need to win other ones too. This is a winnable game for the Pelicans, especially at home. So that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Pelicans. Hopefully the Pels get the win against Memphis tonight at home in the Smoothie King Center. Just get a little bit, you know, closer, inching their way towards Denver in that eighth seed. Got to win these games. And hopefully the on-court, off-court numbers look a little bit better too when it comes to DeMarcus Cousins. But we'll find out no matter what happens, win or lose. I'll break this one down for you guys tomorrow. So thanks for listening. I'll be back with you then. Also, going to be talking more about the on-court, off-court stuff with DeMarcus Cousins. It'll really accumulate. I've got hopefully a good interview set up for Friday. I think it's going to be really insightful. So I'm really excited. So stay tuned with me all week. It's going to be a really good one. So thank you all for listening, and I'll be back with you guys tomorrow.
Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.